Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Third and goal. CJ, back to throw, back in the end zone. Caught Collins! Touchdown, Houston, on the opening drive as Nico goes over 1,000 yards on the season.
Yep, and in the words of my broadcast partner, bubble wrap him for next week. He's done.
That's what they did.
And they did.
That's what they did. Six for six. A touchdown on the first drive that ended like the offensive starters day, kind of. There were still some plays. Nico Collins stayed in there a little bit longer. But that all led to a 23-14 victory against the Tennessee Titans in Nashville as they had all the Oilers stuff out there showing their keisters. It is a victory reaction Monday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You got your man, John Lopez. You have myself, Reginald Atitula, and the return of one Figgy Fig, baby. He back.
Yeah, man. Woo! Yeah, Figgy Fig is back.
Hey, Happy New Year.
And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we ain't seen you in a minute.
Yeah, how was Thanksgiving? How was
You good? You good? Everything good over there?
Yeah, everything good, man. Mm-hmm.
We'll catch up more.
It's been that long, huh?
It really has, man.
I'm kidding, but it's accurate.
What was the last Texans game that you were here for? On air.
It was right. It was the last reaction. Not reaction, but Football Friday before the Chiefs game.
Man. All right.
Man. All right. Yeah, man. A lot has happened.
A lot has indeed happened.
What'd you think about that Dolphins win?
First segment. Let's get Figgy's reaction to that.
The Dolphins. We just ain't talking about the Chiefs, the Ravens.
Yeah. And now.
How about that Beyonce concert?
What a concert. But yeah, Figgy Fig returning. Now gets to see the Texans 10-7. That is what the record is for this season. But really, just kind of getting a win against the Titans, you good, right? Like we can boil it down to pare it down to that. Let us know on the YouTube, Sports Radio 610 on the Twitch 610 Houston. Both those available to you. And then always text in to the text line 713-572-4610. Are you good? Are you happy with how the Texans played? The game in Tennessee on Sunday, how it went with what you saw, you good?
I'm lost, is what I
really.
Am. I'm at a loss. I'm lost because if like okay, so if you imagine like let's say you went into a coma, right after the preseason, and you woke up yesterday. You woke up yesterday to see the Texans, playing the Titans. You would have thought, oh, this is a squad that just did. you know, the regular season the way we expected them. They got the easy division. They went into the last game. They just needed one series to kind of tune everything up and keep everything humming and get into the habit of things. And sure enough, boom, 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 6-for-6, C.J. Stroud, Joe Mixon doing his thing, Nico Collins with the touchdown. If you'd have gone into a coma after the preseason and woke up yesterday, you would have thought, this is exactly the team that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, they just took care of business. They got out of there. They put them in bubble wrap, as you heard Andre Ware talking about. So, but I'm lost because we were awake. we were not in a coma. We were not in a coma for the previous 17 games. So I'm kind of like, that's exactly what a team that we thought the Texans would be should have done.
Right.
But are we good? I mean, does one series erase 17 games of, I don't know, maybe, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Yeah, they look okay. No, they don't. Boy, this offensive line's going to be all right. No, it's not. What? I'm kind of lost.
All right, so
you talking about throughout the whole season?
Yeah, did yesterday one series exactly could not have drawn it up any better? Like, D'Amico Ryans could not have drawn up yesterday any better. Does that one series where you're like, all right, they're ready for the postseason?
It kind of keep you in the middle a little bit.
Yes.
Because it's like, they look really good in that series.
Yeah.
But also, the Titans weren't – they're the Titans. They're the worst team in the league, clearly, because they got the number one overall
pick. And I'm not trying to be – that's a serious question. Do we ignore 17 weeks, 17 games?
No, I think you're fair. I think that's a fair question to ask, because at one point during this, I think I wrote down in my notes, like, I don't know that I feel – I definitely don't feel bad after, you know, what happened to start the game for the Texans, right? They take the ball, right? They win the toss and they take the ball. And I was like, oh, clearly they're just trying to go and set the tone and be out of here, right? So Titans smoked a coverage. That was the final play there that was the touchdown, was a smoked coverage. So that also was like, how do I feel? But Texas executed the drive well.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely felt better, but I was like, to what extent, right?
Exactly.
The question that came up for me you bringing up the idea that they were one drive with with CJ out there and such. And then also Joe Mixon. Both of those guys came out after the first drive. Some of the other guys stayed in. Dalton Schultz stayed in for a good amount of time. The offensive line was obviously there for a good long time until you pulled Laremy Tunsil out. And then Nico Collins had a few more drives, as I mentioned earlier. But I don't know how much better I feel. And then also to that extent, like the ways that you've asked or coming into this, right? You were in a place where you wanted them to go ahead and sit those guys, right?
Yeah.
You didn't feel like there was much to be gained or learned from playing against the Tennessee Titans team. That's the question I asked, which was to myself in that moment, which was, how many more drives would have made me feel better? And would I have lost the value per drive as it continued? Because it was nice seeing CJ go 6-for-6. He looked confident.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he was putting the ball more on the money. I would have loved seeing him actually have like a target to Deontay Johnson, who was, you know, getting his first run in this system. But I guess you could feel like, all right, they'll throw the ball to each other enough in practice or what have you. I would have loved to see that in that moment. But I enjoyed seeing CJ look more comfortable. I enjoyed seeing them put a full drive together where they came out and clearly executed. Joe Mixon got to his 1,000-yard rushing season, which, by the way, allowed him to join Derrick Henry as the only two active running backs with 1,000-yard seasons in back-to-back seasons. So shout out, or in five or more seasons, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nico Collins went over 1,000 in that drive as well, which was made him the fourth player in franchise history to go back-to-back with 1,000-yard seasons. By the way, real quick, do you know the other three?
Andre Johnson, yep. DeAndre Hopkins, yep. And Corey Bradford? Oh, who?
Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah, that guy. So we good?
I think
we good, Figgy?
I think that's as good as we're gonna be.
Yeah.
I think that's as good as you were going to see that. I did appreciate the way that they handled it. One of the things that was great, I think, in maybe the third quarter or maybe no, second quarter, Kurt Heinisch gets hurt and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Not that Kurt Heinisch is like a fulcrum or anything, a load bearing part of this team, but I was like, oh man.
He helps.
Stink if you get an injury there.
Yeah.
He comes back and I'm like, all right, cool. So you made it out healthy.
John Metchie.
Looks like
he might have had a concussion, but he came right back in.
Yeah, Metchie came back. Yeah. You got Nico Collins the ball early and often.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Deontay Johnson get out there and look really good running routes. I think I feel as good as I probably could have. Like, I think this was the best way that they could have gone out against Tennessee. Does that mean that they're ultimately going to go and perform at a high level in, you know, on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday. A tradition unlike any other.
Against the Chargers. I don't think so. But I did appreciate, I think that as much as you could be good coming into a Week 18 game against a Tennessee Titans team that was, you know, not going to be very good.
Yeah.
I think they handled up about as best as I could expect.
Yeah, look, D'Amico couldn't, like I said, he couldn't have drawn it up any better. The offense dissected the Titans. The first team defense stuffed them. CJ was perfect. Joe Mixon got his 1,000. Nico did his thing. O-line looked pretty good. Damian Pierce looked like the perfect 2 in a 1-2 punch. Azeez Al-Shaair got his feet wet again. And as you mentioned, Deontay Johnson even ran a bunch of routes and got some valuable reps. So it was perfect in terms of how you drew it up. But does that one thing, that one 15, 20 minutes of football that we saw early on, does that erase everything? And I'm not saying it necessarily couldn't. It doesn't totally erase it because you're still a 4 seed and boy, Jim Harbaugh did everything he could to face you this week too. So, clearly the Texans look like a vulnerable team in the big picture, but they still have all the parts. They still have the talent that we've talked about minus some injuries. It's a little confusing. I'm a little lost, but as you put it, about as good as you could hope for going into this week.
Yeah.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From 713, we can only play good against bad teams. I mean, that's going to be put in some ways to the test against the Chargers team that is, I mean, pretty damn solid, if you ask me. 346, a fair point, right? Happy but confused.
I said I was lost.
Deontay Johnson, man, they said, should have gotten a few more targets to get him and Stroud on the same page. I wanted to at least see it come together a little bit. One of the things that was abundantly clear is that they were like, hey, who's our best player? Nico Collins, give him the football. Mm-hmm. They got him the football a lot early. He ended up with the most targets, although they spread the ball out a decent amount over the entirety of the course of this game. But Nico Collins got five targets, 5 catches, of course, 38 yards, including that touchdown on the very first drive. And, I mean, some of that was to get him to his number, yeah, right, I imagine.
Yeah.
But also, I think some of it was like an acknowledgement that, hey, man, if we're going to do something, it's going to run largely through Nico Collins, including right off the jump. Mm-hmm. It might have been one of the first few plays you get the Nico Collins jet sweep.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, when was the last time we saw a jet sweep, especially with Tank Dell now injured? I was like, okay, so we're just going to do the thing where we're getting him the football by any means possible. And I appreciate that because it feels like, look, man, this offense is not consistent enough. So hit the yards button.
Yeah.
Hit the button of like, these are the things that are most successful, because I don't know that you have the offense that is, as you mentioned, over the entirety of the season, put together enough stuff that you can go, oh, we're going to be diverse. Like, nah, yeah, you have to hit play the hits with this team.
Right? Yeah, you do. And it was nice to see that play that you're talking about with Nico, because definitely nice to get that on tape. And now, that's something that the Chargers are going to have to look at. Oh, well, here's the other part. You couldn't have drawn it up any better early. Does that mean we also ignore some of the things that we saw in this game that were not necessarily from players that are going to be significant contributors?
Which ones are you talking about?
Well, Fairbairn missed an extra was an extra point. Yeah.
Anyway, it was on the second touchdown. That was after Damian Pierce decided to go beast mode down the field, 92 yards.
Yeah.
And then Kyahmi Fairbairn. I don't even know what you could call it missed. I feel like you have to use a stronger adjective somehow. Like he.
Oof. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's that. So we're going to ignore that. John Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, and Robert Woods still not doing a whole lot. In fact, Derek Barnett has more touchdowns than those three receivers combined.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that. Derek Barnett has more touchdowns this year than John Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, and Robert Woods combined. Deontay already looks better.
His route running is exquisite.
Yeah.
Like, he had one of those, like, sideline comebacks. And this was once Davis Mills was in the game, if I remember. Yeah, it had to be because there was no targets to him before that. Mm-hmm. But down the left side, like, he just runs the route, sticks the top of the route perfectly, comes back, catches the football. And I'm like, that's going to be so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to go back and, like, double back into this game and see just the variety of routes. Not to say that, like, hey, they're showing all the things that they're going to do with Deontay, and thus those are the things that he's going to do. But I like to see the things that they immediately gravitated to early on to use him on, because he's going to be so impactful, at least in this upcoming game. And I'd like to see what that means for the possibility of him remaining, because I thought that that was a nice touch. And shout out to Davis Mills as well.
Davis Mills looked good.
Like, when we talk about backup time, like, I'm sure some people, like, tuned out, and I guess that's your prerogative. I was very interested in seeing, like, what some of the things that continued on, like your offensive line, who there was clearly a very bad of it, which is, hey, Laremy Tunsil.
That was on my list.
That one thing came back.
True.
That one thing came back. Those pre-snap penalties allowed him to.
So we're going
to
ignore that?
Put a tight hold, a tight grasp on being the most penalized player.
So that's cool, though, but the first drive says everything's good. And also, hey, you know how we feel about Frank Ross. Gave up a, 50-something, 40-something yard return. So nothing to see here. I mean, you know, that's why I'm, like, kind of lost. Like, it was awesome. It was perfect for what he wanted. But what are we going to do with the rest of the season?
I mean, with the you make of it what you can at this point. You've put 17 weeks of actual football, right? 18 weeks in the course of the season. Up on tape, like, this team largely is what they are, and I really agree with this text that came in from the 281. It doesn't erase, but it gives us hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at this point in the season, that's kind of what you need. What is the old cliche? You want to be playing your best football at this time of year, and I don't know that you could fully get to that argument with this Texas
team. But that's a good thing.
But that was a better brand of football than what you had seen, which was the whole point, right? In fact, if you want to go to D'Amico Ryans in the postgame, who you will hear today on The Loop, obviously he has his media availability on Mondays. We'll hear that live around 11:40. I'm sure he was talking about, like, what did they learn from this game? D'Amico Ryans did. This is cut to Figgy Fig.
Our guys just play good ball, and it's not anything that we learned specifically. Guys played well. Guys did what they had to do.
Okay. And
that as cut and dry as it that is, that was the objective.
Mm-hmm.
Play good football, because you have not done that consistently. You haven't always done it for four quarters as well, specifically on the offensive side, but sometimes on the defensive side. And they did that. I mean, obviously they weren't in there for four quarters, but you did that for the most part, and I appreciate it, I guess.
Now here's the good thing of you know, where I feel like I'm lost. Like I mentioned, you know, do you erase the 17 games, the you know, the other 16 games, whatever. But the good thing is, doesn't matter what Figgy or you or I believe of like, does this get them ready? Are they playoff ready? They might believe it. That's what D'Amico wanted. He wanted them to get rid of that taste in their mouth. Remember that?
Yeah.
So even though they understand their shortcomings, they understand some of those hiccups and those things that kind of reared their head again yesterday in some instances. But as long as they feel like, okay, the switch has been flipped, well, then maybe it'll help a little bit, you know?
Yeah. The old Deion Sanders, look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you play good, they pay good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that maybe that ends up being helpful. I was a lot happier than I thought that I probably could be after this one. But yeah, man, they still have some of the issues. That drive does not necessarily prove that this team is going to come out and close games, or, you know, do it in the second half once a team has kind of had an opportunity to see what you're doing. But I appreciated that they could come in and execute on that level. Although, again, it feels like there had to be some outlet in some ways, and I think one of those outlets was Laremy Tunsil rocking back early. Although I did appreciate Ross Tucker. Fun listen, right? I don't know if he's my favorite broadcaster, but it's nice to be able to listen to him, especially after hearing him on
Don't Tell Seth that.
All the time. No, I know Seth is in that place.
Seth and Sean.
Yeah. I'm still very
he's
partial.
All right.
I'm still quite partial to Greg Olsen.
He's all right.
Not gonna lie. I like Greg
Olsen. I turned on the radio this morning. Yeah. Sean was like, yeah, my wife really likes him.
Shout out to Sean, man. I think Sean might have to pay attention to that space a little bit more. But no, I do appreciate that Ross Tucker also noted this, and I want to get your opinion on this. Laremy Tunsil, the false starts happened early into Davis Mills being in there, and he was, you know, he was kind of positing that sometimes just the different person calling the snap count or calling with the cadence can maybe, you know, shift that for a lineman and maybe make it a little tough. to time up your you know, your jump or whatever, your set? No.
I'm going to defer to Seth Payne on this, who actually tweeted about that. And he said, if it's different with a new quarterback, you know, cadence, how come it wasn't different for the other 10 guys?
Yep. I mean, fair point.
The other 10 guys were just fine. You know, so it's bizarre. It's a very much mixed emotions today. If they feel good about it and they feel like they flipped the switch, that's good. It could have been a lot worse. Like, and this is another thing that Ross brought up a couple times during the broadcast. This could have gone really bad the other way. And then they'd all be feeling like, oh no, you know, that was the Titans and we still didn't show a whole lot, but it went the good way. So as long as they feel good, as long as they feel like they've got the momentum, I know you love that, going into the week one of the playoffs against the Chargers, it might help. But I just feel sort of lost because I didn't wake up from a coma after preseason.
No.
I saw the other 16 games, so I'm a little bit lost.
Yeah, I kind of didn't even look at this game as that, man. I kind of looked at the game as like, let's keep everybody healthy.
Yes.
Because the Titans, they were clearly tanking at this point. Mm-hmm. They was trying to get that number one overall pick.
And it worked.
Yeah, so I ain't really look at this like, oh, yeah, they look pretty good. Long as they're healthy, I'm fine with it. Let's see what they do against the Chargers.
Don't forget, and we'll talk more about it. I mean, we got you for the whole 4 hours, as always. The offensive line did look like they were actually sustaining blocks a little bit stronger. Like, D'Amico Ryans clearly wanted to. Like, he came off that Ravens game on a warpath, as much as we've seen him talking about things of that nature. Felt like that was a little bit better. I want to obviously go back and watch the All-22 and see that with the better eye. But, yeah, man, and maybe this texter is right, right? You feel better. You feel good that it wasn't a complete bleep performance.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? After seeing a complete bleep performance, it was nice to see a little bit of bounce back there. So there you go. Victory Monday. Even though we're still in a place where we're still trying to get some excitement, at least it's a victory over a team that was out there wearing them Houston Oilers jerseys. Yes, 8-3-2. It feels a lot better. Have a lot better than about the new Houston team than the Tennessee team trying to beat the old Houston team.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We got more to talk about all day long on a Victory Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, it is also a Black Monday. Let's talk about the coaching carousel starting up in earnest, including Bobby Slowick getting interviews. We'll do it next.